Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's John Clayton. John, did you go to Kennywood much growing up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
I mean, you know, I usually go like about 3-4 times in the summertime. Again, because all you have to do is go across the bridge and go straight up the road. It was real close, so able to do it. It was
there
fun.
You go.
Thunderbolt, best roller coaster at Kennywood all time, in my opinion. John, what say you?
Yeah, it was. It was so good that a lot of times I tried to avoid it because it would really rock you. That's one when you could really get the energy up and get the excitement going when you're on that.
John, what was your reaction to seeing Skinny Ben?
Good. I mean, because we haven't seen that a lot.
No, we haven't.
I mean, no, we haven't, and particularly as big as he looked in the off season. I think, remember the first tweet that he put out, you go, oh, my heavens, look at that. But I think you can see that he's right now as sharp as he can be, as motivated as he can be, as good a shape he's going to be in, and I think the arm's going to be fine. But I think a little scary when he revealed exactly what happened, but on the flexor muscles, 3 came off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a little scary.
Well, I think it sets it up if he has a great year that they maybe have the surgery that gets done there named after him. He could be like Tommy John of football if he thrives for several more years after this, John. But what is
I mean, you're right about that because, I mean, that thing was so close to being like a Tommy John. So I don't know. It's like, what do we call it, the Ben Roethlisberger or the Big Ben?
BR surgery, something,
I like,
yeah,
Big
something
Ben.
Like that. So what does he do for you as far as transforming the Steelers' offense? Like, when you assume Ben Roethlisberger's health and everything else and he sounds motivated, John, the Steelers are, on paper for you, a top blank offense in the NFL. 5, 10, 15, where are they?
I'd say top 7, maybe top 6. Yeah, I think they're going to be a pretty good offense because, I mean, you know he can throw the ball a lot. You know that they can run the football. They still have a decent offensive line, even though there's been some changes. And, of course, what you also see is this is, I think, one of the better defenses they've had now in the last decade. And so if they can get to the point where, I mean, I know that they talk that they want to score 30 points, but I think those days are done,
mm-hmm.
30 points a game. But if they can score 25 points and give up 19, now you're talking about, you know, at least an 11-win season.
When John Clayton handicaps the chances of old man quarterbacks with new teams, John, Brady in Tampa, Rivers in Indy, and then I'm going to throw, not a new team, but I'm going to throw Roethlisberger in there with those two guys. Give me the team you like the most of those three for 2020.
Well, I mean, I think that I would go with Pittsburgh right now of those three because, you know, what I look at Indy doing is that, you know, bouncing back and Rivers takes them to win the division, but I think that's going to be a 10-win division. You look at the Steelers' schedule, and it's, you know, that in Baltimore, they have the two easiest schedules in football, and you have so many games against young quarterbacks. And, you know, quarterbacks are still in their rookie contracts. And if that's going to be the case, then, you know, Ben's going to have the advantage both in the through the game and in the fourth quarter, because if he needs to get a fourth quarter drive to win, he can do that. So I think it sets up very well because, you know, they did decently to get to 8 wins without Ben for the most part of last year. But now to have Ben with this defense, and again, some of the parts of the defense are going to have to start to be broken up next year because of the tight cap, $175 million floor in the cap. But I think in the end, you know, they can really get some positive things going.
John, now that we finally have some sort of clarity on Antonio Brown, 8-game suspension with, I guess, still technically the possibility for more, what do you think happens next with him? Is this going to result now having some sort of finality to that part of the equation, going to get him on a football team?
Nope, I don't think so. I mean, I think if anybody's going to get him on a football team, it's going to be more after the 8-game suspension because, you know, he's still – I mean, the lawsuit that he had that on the condo that he trashed, you know, that's not going to affect anything on the suspension. But when you start to look at the lawsuit that he has from a female trainer, that sounds even worse than what they put in there. Because remember, you know, they took it to 8 games because they did take him beating up the delivery driver and with the 2 counts that he pleaded to. And then they looked at with the artist and the things that he was texting and all those different things and then upped it to 8. But this one with the female trainer seems to be worse.
Yeah.
And so, if they take that into account, I think the suspension is going to be even a little bit more. But you know what, Ben, what they were able to do is that Antonio asked for a ruling. He got his ruling. He may not have liked the ruling, but at least he's accepted it. But I look at it in the big picture. It's like this is still going to be a tough one for him.
John, a lot of talk about bubbles and how great they've been for the winter sports. No positive tests in the NHL right now. None in the NBA. Does the NFL have a plan B other than the 17-week schedule that we have before us that starts a month from now? To the best of your knowledge, what does their backup plan look like, John?
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, what I wonder about, because I mean, we all agree that the way it's been handled, you know, with the government and everything else, this is worse than what it was when it started. Would we agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, keep going.
And so what I wonder then, how much worse can it get in the fall? Because, I mean, think about what's going on with the NFL right now. I mean, you have everything in the 5 major states that have major problems just totally up in the air. I mean, whether it's Texas and Florida, I mean, can it get any worse in Florida? Probably not, you know, particularly when you're getting 20% positive tests. But now you can see, even with the teams in Florida, now Jacksonville, they've had as many as 12 players with positive tests. But they've now got about maybe 8 of those back. And when you look at the 92 positive tests up to now, that you have 41 of those players back, that has to be encouraging. Because, you know, think about the idea. It's like, okay, they didn't start the testing until last week, and it was going to take the 5 days, and here it is. You know, there is it 92, not 140, which I thought. That's less than what I thought. And the fact that they're coming back so fast, that's got to be a positive. So it's like, I think right now it's going better than expected. But you know what it comes down to, and this is where Pittsburgh has an advantage, some of the other teams have an advantage, if you have good veteran leadership, right? Because here's your bubble. You know, where you're going to be training, where you're going to be having the team hotel, and then, of course, now you need the veteran leaders to make sure that the players, that the young players don't stray and bring something back. If they can handle that, they can handle everything and get the whole season in.
John, do you expect any major names to opt out anymore before the Thursday deadline for that? I've seen Tre'Davious White's name bandied about as somebody that's at least considering it.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me because I think what you're seeing is that you know, there are some big names that are still considering it. I mean, because we're up to 55 guys now that have opted out. And 58 right now because we had 3 this morning. And so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. You have another name or two. But what's interesting is that here's a cornerback that's thinking about doing it, where most of the decisions have come from defensive tackles and offensive linemen. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me because again, look at what's, and I'll tell you, the division that's really getting destroyed right now with the opt outs is the AFC East, because you think about the 8 guys from the New England Patriots. You're looking at possibly White with Buffalo and Star Lutelele. The Jets, you know, they've lost C.J. Mosley, and then wide receivers went down and opted out with the Miami Dolphins because Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson opted out. So that division really got hurt.
John, on the opt-out note, we have a very prominent college football player here at Penn State, Micah Parsons, who's a projected top 10 pick, who's reportedly opted out. How do you think NFL talent evaluators are going to view players that skip the entire college football season?
Well, I mean, they're not going to be overly critical of the decision, but certainly it's going to affect how they're going to be graded, because now what you're looking at is that you don't have any tape on this guy and you don't have anything to judge this year. So basically you're going and looking at the year before, and so that may put some questions in your mind. But of course, I think that's why I think you're seeing more teams that are willing to give up some good draft choices this year, because it's going to be pretty much a mess, I think, in college drafting in the next couple of years because of that. Because, you know, you'd like to be able to see it. And, you know the way things go is that, most of the draft choices, like 95% of them, come out of the Power Five schools. But if you don't have anything to judge at how they played this year, then you're going back to last year and you're going to have a little bit more questions in your mind.
John, to go back to the NFL just trying to stage games under the current pandemic situation, do you get the sense, or are you talking to people that are telling you that they are behind the scenes, maybe it's not making a lot of public waves, constantly tweaking their plans to try to streamline things and make them better and safer as we get closer to the projected start date of the season, or are they pretty much static with what they've come up with so far?
No, they're constantly changing and adjusting. I mean, like, what was it in the last week? You know, they're going to have somebody that's going to be kind of, you know, watching extra to make sure that the guys are going to be over. So you're getting more watching of people. I think you can see there's, you know, more of an emphasis. I mean, you can see the changes just in the New Orleans Saints. The fact that they got, 185 rooms at a Lowe's hotel to, basically take care of staff and take care of players and things of that nature. So I think there's constant adjustments, and you have to have constant adjustments. I mean, you look at baseball and you see, okay, you have these games canceled because of this, this, and this. So now what about this? I mean, is there a chance that you have to move a team, you know, out of an area that's so bad? And so far that hasn't happened. But no, I think that each team right now, and that's why general managers are, you know, not pulling their hair out, but they've got to be exhausted because they have to keep thinking through all of these different things to make sure that safety is going to be the big issue and you can have your team. And then, of course, the other thing is then you have to start looking at the practice squad, because you can get six members of the practice squad and there's no age limit on the 16-player practice squad. And so then you have to start figuring out, okay, how can I get this guy over here for $12,000 a week so that if he's needed at the last minute, you can do it.
Does John Clayton still follow the Pirates?
I do, but I have not this much this year because we're so far in the start of the season, mainly because there's so much going on right now in the NFL, following the opt-outs, following the positive test, following the roster moves, following the dwindling number of undrafted players. So that's kind of kept me more busy from going into baseball as much as I usually do.
Gotcha.
In that vein, John, I have to ask, in the NFL and your time covering the league, I feel like it's become immortalized, like in the suck for luck hashtag and everything else, because quarterbacks are so important. There's thoughts that teams try to sink to the bottom to get guys that are considered generational players at the position. Have you been around or covered many teams or talked to many people throughout your years covering the NFL where it has become obvious to you that that team did not want to win football games in a given year, like that the strategy really was to lose?
I think maybe I've seen it maybe once every 6 or 7 years. I mean, we thought we saw it last year with the Miami Dolphins, but then second half of the season, they started putting some things together and doing some good things. Mm-hmm. But, it's not like baseball where you had – you know, like last year, what was it, 10 teams that were tanking and trying to, you know, get better positions and doing things like that and saving money. I mean, that was 10 teams last year. I mean, you see it to a small degree in the NBA, but I don't think in the NFL it's there that much. Is it there? Of course it is. I mean, because again, you know, if you have the opportunity then to get a top draft choice, that particularly like Trevor Lawrence, who can be that good, you want to try to do it. But that's more, I think, right now what teams are trying to do this year is just try to see if they can survive, because they just don't know, having never been through this before, how to, you know, get things going to get it accomplished.
John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider. John, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.